This is Evolutionary Radio. This is your host, Trevor Caritzen. As always, my co-host, Steve Smee, is joining me.
Hey, what's up, guys? We have a couple great guests tonight. Tell them about them, Trevor.
Well, we got some fellow Canadians, so I'm really excited about that. We got on IFBB Pro, Antoine Vallant, and his coach, Dorian Hamilton. So, Antoine, I got to ask, what happened to you, man? I mean, we haven't heard anything from you for years.
Oh, what happened to me in the past few years?
Yeah, I mean, so let's say probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, you had a great contract with Universal. I mean, you were all over social media. You were doing really well. You're working your way up the pro ranks. And then you kind of fell off the face of the earth. What happened?
Oh, you guys don't know. You didn't, like, hear the recent, like, because I did other interviews also with other people. But what happened, actually, if I want to put it in a nutshell, is that Once I won my pro card, I already had bad habits of of partying some from time to time. But then I got addicted to drugs, and I had a drug addiction problem, which brought me I lost everything multiple times. I was even homeless, and so that's why I was not able to compete or do anything. Actually, my life was controlled by drugs, and I couldn't live with them. Couldn't live without them. I was broke. I lost everything, lost relationships, and so that's why I was away. So what happened is I one of my friend died in 2014 on Christmas Day. They found him dead, overdosed in a shed, and that made me decide that I wanted to stop using drugs. And then I found out that I couldn't stop using drugs by myself. So I tried trial and error. Then I went to my first rehab. Then I did 4 rehabs, and after my fourth one, which I came out. Was it last March?
So 4 over the course of 3 years.
Yes. So last year I came out of rehab about a year and something ago. For the course of 3 years, I did 4 rehabs. And then last year in March, I came out, and then I had nothing. And I had a food bank, food. I was going free to get free food at the food bank. And after my third one, I was in a shelter, the Salvation Army, actually. And my uncle helped me out on that. After the fourth rehab, I had a little place there. I started training slowly. My friends were giving me tubs of protein, a little bit like that. I had the food bank food, and I started training at the gym, Jim Victor Reed, South Shore, Longueuil. And I just started my career over. I just started over again from scratch. And that's why now, a year later, I'm here and I'm going to compete in Toronto Pro Show.
I appreciate you being so open, Antoine. This really hits home for me, and part of the reason I wanted to book you is that my sister actually died last week of a drug overdose.
Oh, really? I'm sorry, man.
I was actually in Edmonton yesterday for her funeral. I just got back yesterday around midnight. So, you know, it's easy to think, you know, it's not going to happen to me, you know, but you're a prime example of it can happen to anyone, right? And it's just a couple wrong decisions. And
one of my friends actually just died 2 days ago. He was in jail. He got clean and sober in jail. And then he started training, did a competition. He was out of jail. He was happy for me. I was happy for him. And then it was his birthday 5 days, 7 days ago. He started partying for 5 days. And then the fifth day, he's dead. And I used to party for 5 days like that. So for me, it really hit home, because I was like, wow, it's a close call for me. You know, if I would tell myself after the show, for example, oh, it's my birthday on the 28th of July, I'm going to party, I could be dead in 5 days. Done.
So may I ask, Antoine, what kind of drugs was it? Did it have something to do with painkillers? Did that get you hooked on the drugs?
Was it opiate? I don't want to be drug specific, because I can relate to more people that way. For example, if somebody's problem is alcoholism, they can hear me talk and relate, even though me wasn't alcohol really. So I'd rather not talk about the drugs, because in the program of recovery that I use, the 12 steps, that's what they teach us. And that way we reach more people.
Great. Okay. That's good to hear.
when it really comes down to it, it doesn't really matter what substance you're using. It's all for the same purpose.
Yeah, it's to like fill up a void and fill up the pain and suffering inside, you know.
Exactly. But anyways, that chapter of your life is done. You know, you're on the up and up. How did you two link up? Like, you're beside your coach, Dorian. I mean, I followed Dorian a little bit. He's a really, really smart guy. How did your guys' paths cross?
I guess for, well, mutual friend, Frank.
Right? Yeah, Frank McGrath. And I think what happened is I moved to Toronto in 2000. After my friend died, 2015, I moved to Toronto, and then I were both with Universal. Yeah, we met there.
Yeah, New Jersey.
But then when I came in town, Toronto, I started hanging out with Cody, me, you, and
yeah.
And then I found out that there's not a lot of good guys in the world, and Dorian's one of the good guys, you know. So he helped me out a lot, and I just every time I can give back to him, I give back. But he's a really good friend and a good coach, and it's the best I've been looking so far. Is the best I felt. Is the best I feel. The best surrounded by people actually care and support me. You know, the only thing I'm missing is my family, my mom. But other than that, you know, I got some old buddies in Quebec. But you know, my support system for my career in bodybuilding is right here. So I'm really happy. So that's how we met, I guess.
Yeah, basically through a mutual friend.
And yeah,
we were both with Universal. We did a video shoot there.
Yeah,
and then you have that next week. You happen to be moving to Toronto.
Oh,
so right after we met there, huh. We were like, oh, it's train.
That's cool.
That's where it sort of took off.
I don't even remember.
Are you living in Toronto now, Antonio?
I'm living, you know, this place here right now is Dorian Hamilton's treehouse. He lives in the house over there. Because what happened is unfortunately, I just broke up with my girlfriend a month ago. It was kind of like a mutual decision, though, you know, and because it was my first time being with her in prep. And it's a bodybuilder in prep is not for everybody. And she had needs that I respect a lot and I couldn't meet. And she's a great person. You know, I still love her as a person and I want her to be happy. But we had to part ways there and focus on myself and the prep. And she's doing the same thing on her side. You never know what the future holds, though. But Dorian, he welcomed me to his place here. He has a little property.
It's like a rental apartment on my property. So no one happened to be renting it out right now. So
yeah,
just told Antoine, you know, relax, focus on your prep.
Yeah,
move in.
Yeah,
get your own space.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have like a workout place there, or do you hit a gym close by?
We actually do have a little gym here, but right now I sold some of the equipment because I'm going to be moving later on in the summer. So right now Antoine's able to do his cardio in there, and you know his abs and stretching and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, it's a pretty cool setup here. It's like a bodybuilding haven. Burlington, Ontario, is the town we're living in right now. And it's one of the top three in North America.
I think
something
Canada,
like that.
Canada, at least.
In Canada, yeah, it's a really great place and
lots of good amenities here for bodybuilders.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a gym opening up also. One of your client friend, Blake, is opening up a gym. So we're gonna create this the Northern Mecca of bodybuilding. You know, it's gonna be really cool.
I kind of want to fly down. Sounds like fun.
Yeah! Once it's set up, man, we'll do a live podcast like Joe Rogan style.
Two buddies, you know, working out together and living together. What could be better? So Antoine, you've worked with a lot of big name coaches. What makes Dorian different?
He's very, very, very health conscious, and he's more about the results in the long run. He's very effective. He's very adaptable, and he's very on the ball. Like he doesn't have a lot of clients right now, but the ones he has, he's really giving 100% on them. A lot of time, the coaches, they go for a lot of big numbers and stuff. And it's like, you know, but Dorian's really like, it's crazy. Like every morning I wake up, first thing I do, two rounds of posing. I send him a video, my weight in the morning. Then he gives me the plan for the day. And he modifies every day.
One day at a time
right now. It's like even day, like sometimes like during the day, we're going to modify some stuff because I live with him, right? Mm-hmm. I'm getting the best coach service ever, 24/7 coach service. So, yeah, what makes him really good, like I said, is that he's very health conscious. He's not about like he wants to keep me healthy so I can do this for a long time and have life after bodybuilding also. And he's very like he's the best coach I had so far as far as the nutrition and the supplement goes. He's the best for real.
Awesome. So the Toronto Pro, that's in 9 days. Is that correct?
Yeah, 9 days. Yeah.
9 days. And how are you feeling 9 days out?
I'm feeling good right now because I'm being occupied with the podcast. But if I'm not training and I'm going after my meals, this is pretty.
Yesterday was a really hard day.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday was a hard day. And then this morning when I woke up, I was pretty much zombie. But as soon as I got the pump, you know, I felt good and it's not too bad now. And I just love my training days because I'm occupied in the before noon. I'm occupied, so I can eat like my meals at 2 p.m. Then I just the meals for 2 hours compared to yesterday.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yesterday, he had a day off.
And oh my god,
his day off. We sort of lowered the carbs to probably around 100 grams. So it's tough when you know you're not training, and then you got nothing to do all day because you're so used to training and your routine, and you're eating a minimal amount of food. You know, you're kind of going crazy. So it was the first day that we sort of did that, took the day off and went really, really low carbs. But we got a really good response. He dropped
I dropped
3 or 4 pounds.
I was 247.8 this morning.
Yeah.
The lowest weight I've been in on prep.
Yeah.
And how tall are you, Antoine?
I'm 6 foot.
6 foot, okay. So, I mean, anyone who's listening to this right now, we can see Antoine. He is a big guy. I mean, he's got some big-ass muscles. You guys can check him out on his Instagram, AntoineV87, and you can see his pictures. The guy is he's absolutely
his beast. Arms are bigger than my head. Let's put it that way.
And I think I'm considered one of the smaller guys, though, in the pros, right?
It's hard to say. Yeah,
it's hard to say. I guess when I step on stage, we'll see.
He's very balanced.
And I don't feel like I'm, because a lot of, if you look at the New York Pro, the guys are all blown out and the big round muscle, like full. And me, when I wake up in the morning, I feel like I'm not like that. But people, that's what they keep telling me. Are you going to do classic? I'm like, I don't want to do classic. I would have to lose 25 pounds of lean muscle. You know, because that's another class for those who don't know, which has a weight limit with the height.
It's a different look. Guys that are 6 foot have a more aesthetic physique. People that are tend to be shorter tend to look a lot thicker and more heavily muscled because their muscle bellies are a lot shorter, right? When you're filling out a frame that's 6 foot, you know, it has a different look than someone who's 5 foot 7 or 5 feet.
You got long limbs. But I mean, for our listeners, you heard it here first. I mean, Antoine, he's 6 feet tall. I'm guessing you're probably what, like 250, 260, and he's eating 100 grams of carbs right now. We have so many people who, you know, are on the forums and stuff who are scared to be hungry, but they're trying to lose body fat, right? And I try to tell them, you know, hunger, as long as it's tolerable hunger, you know, like it's not so bad that, you know, you feel like you're going to eat a shoe or something. Tolerable hunger is a good sign. That means, you know, you're burning body fat, your metabolism's healthy. So, I mean, you're hearing it here first. If you want to get shredded, that's what it takes. I mean, Antoine, you're probably running on fumes right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, today it was a bit of a higher day, but still it's not
today, training day is probably around, if I had to guess, probably around 275 grams of carbs.
Yeah,
I would say.
Okay, okay. So we had Nick Trigilio on 2 days ago, and he talked a lot about drugs. What I want to hear from you guys, and what I think our listeners would love to hear, is what does a pro bodybuilder eat? So, you know, maybe go through Antoine's meals. You don't have to, like, actually go list quantities or anything, but kind of, like, tell us, like, what does breakfast look like?
I'll sort of break it down here. Let me just
follow. Yeah, like, you don't have to actually give us, like, the actual grams of oatmeal and stuff. Give us, like, a sample day in the life.
Yeah, so basically, like, first thing in the morning, I have his days laid out. Everything's planned out, even by, like, you know, the meals, like, the timing-wise. So first thing when we get out, we have egg whites, some steak, oatmeal, and fish oil. That's his pre-workout meal. Then we go train. Post-workout meal, we actually just cut. For the longest time, we were doing like a cyclic dextrin pre and post-workout, but we actually just cut those carbs since we're 9 days out. So immediately after the workout, he would go into his meal, which is white fish and rice and a little bit of vegetables from like spinach or kale. And then we repeat that meal again. For meal three,
I got chicken breast for meal three.
Oh yeah, but we swapped the white fish out for chicken breast.
Yeah,
and then between meal three and four, depending on how he's doing that day, we might do cardio. And meal four is again white fish. Today we slightly reduced the carbs in that meal with more spinach. Meal five is a repeat of that, but we add some fats. There's 50 grams of avocado, which isn't that much.
I'm looking forward to that.
Maybe like 7 grams of fat.
And meal six, before he goes to bed, he has been doing this for probably 4 or 5 weeks now. It's just salmon and asparagus.
Yeah, 4 spears of asparagus. And the only vegetables I'm eating right now is spinach and the asparagus, because I was using mushrooms and onions and for breakfast. And earlier in prep, every meal I would use onions and mushrooms. But as we go near the show, we try to remove as much variables as possible. So we keep the same thing every day, you know? And by doing that, I'm less bloated, and my weight is more, control it more like that. And as soon as we modify a little bit of something, my body will respond right away.
Yeah, a lot of times when guys start prepping, they start, you know, the carbs are low, the complex carbs. So they end up thinking, okay, well, I'm not eating carbs. So, you know, they overload on vegetables. They end up eating a couple cups of broccoli per meal. And again, that can add up, and it's also going to bloat you, right?
Yeah.
So especially the coniferous vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. That can cause a lot of gas formation if you overdo it.
Yeah. So I like to stick to things that, like asparagus once or twice a day.
Spinach is great.
And the spinach is great.
You I can just say, I can either cook it or I just take a big chunk and I just eat it before my meal. everything tastes good right now. I'm starving so much.
Yeah.
Steve, what are your thoughts on that? That's not much food. I mean, four spears of asparagus for dinner. That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, hey, it's working. So, I mean, I, you know, less is better, I guess, you know, in this situation. Just get what you need for sure. And then how about your workouts? Are you doing two workouts a day, one workout and one cardio a day? What's your split?
This morning, we did fasted cardio.
We actually just started doing fasted cardio. Usually we were doing this cardio between meal 4 and 5.
5 p.m. cardio.
Yeah, 5 p.m. But now we just sort of switched it up, and he's waking up in the morning and doing a fasted session of cardio, but a lower amount.
I'll do cardio again tonight a little bit, right?
Yeah, and then some days we'll do it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that changes. There's no, there's no set time.
And the training today was pretty cool, actually. Let me find it.
But we do have days, too, that, like, we never keep calories too low for too long. For a period of time, if he gets too flat, we do have times, instead of doing a cheat meal, we might do like 3 days of higher carbs. You know, on each day, ramp up the carbs a little more so the body uptakes all the carbs, stays tight, and fills out. And on those days, you know, he can really maximize his training because he's going to be fuller, more energy.
Oh, yeah. 180 to cheat or whatever. The pump's so great.
Yeah.
Okay, the workout today actually was – let me find it here.
We moved over to a less volume, higher intensity.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't know about heart because I was doing the gauntlet by John Meadows, and it's like you keep the RPE kind of at a couple reps short, so failure on the big muscles, and then you reach failure only the – and you do like chest, back, shoulders, biceps 3 times a week. And it was good, but for me, because it was such of a change, it fucked up with my head a little bit. So I told John, I'm going to follow the high frequency a little bit. Maybe not do it as frequent, but I want to reach failure. So, like, for example, today we did chest and back and delts. We did, for chest, dumbbell press, high intensity, and then we did one crazy set with the negative at the end and the whatever, failure. And then we did incline barbell with a crazy drop set, crossovers, 3 sets to kind of failure, high rep. Then we did one-arm barbell, high intensity style. And then we did... shoulder pad, chest supported arm restraint rows. We did a drop set there. And
how long are your workouts normally, Antoine?
I would say
maximum 2 hours right now.
Yeah, maybe
less than that. 90 minutes.
90 minutes at max.
Yeah.
It's tough because when you are doing so many body parts combined, it takes a little longer, right?
Yeah, but then we have days our arms.
Like, yeah. But then he has days too where he's doing ab training and other things after the workout. So. Yeah. Can take a little
Dorian, I got a question for you. A lot of our listeners, you know, they want to start becoming personal trainers. They, you know, they want to start working with top IFBB pros like Antoine.
Yeah.
How did you start working with guys like Antoine? Do you have a nutrition degree? Did you do any sort of kinesiology training in university? Or was it all just the school of hard knocks, trial and error?
Yeah, basically at a very young age, I had a big interest in nutrition, training, everything myself. You know, I started training when I was like 13 years old, did my first competition by the time I was 17. By the time I was 19, I hired my first sort of like, I guess you'd call it guru, which was like Hani Rambod. And over the next 10 years, eight, nine years, I basically worked with like so many different top coaches in bodybuilding, like, I mean, to name some, like, you guys would know, is Hani, George Farah, Chris Aceto, Neil Hill, Milos, even Lane Norton, like, so many guys. And I did that because I actually wanted to learn, you know, like, from all these guys, like, because there's so many different ways. I don't think there's one right or wrong way. I just think there's a lot of different ways. And, you know, working with all those guys allowed me to learn lots of different ways. And I sort of took what I liked from all them and I can apply it to my clients. And I noticed some people do work better on, you know, different ways. One person might respond really well to fats where the other person doesn't tolerate them very well. So it's, yeah, that's basically.
Do you compete as well, Dorian?
Yeah. I compete in my, as well. I haven't for 2 years now. I just sort of just started helping other guys, and I'm not sure if I'm going to. I would like to compete again. We just have a lot on the go right now. Actually, working on like a small supplement line, getting that started in the next sometime throughout the summer. So I have a lot of things on the go, and just sort of enjoying the process right now, and enjoy helping these guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I never know what the future holds, though. I might get back on stage. I think
so. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your supplement line, or is that top secret?
No, it's not top secret. It's in the early stages. Something we're working on. Basically, I want to make products. The cost of them is going to be very expensive, but we're trying to keep them on the retail level. That's still very, very fair for the end consumer. It's obviously hard, though, when you want to make products that have top quality ingredients. So yeah, basically all the products are just going to be like what I would use myself or what I would get Antoine to take or my clients, because I find it really hard dealing with clients and trying to piece together proper supplements for them. They end up buying like, you know, 10 different products. They have to go to this website, that website. So we're just trying to create products that are for serious lifters. And yeah, we're really looking forward to getting those out there, and hopefully probably towards September, they should be ready. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, one thing I've learned is that sometimes you look at the pre-workouts that they sell, and there's like 1 gram of citrulline mallet. It's like that's not gonna do shit.
it's label dressing, Antoine. So
it's
basically
crazy. I didn't know, like, wow, there's a lot of products out there.
Basically, if you look at your pre-workout, just look at the amount of grams that's actually in there of product. Forget about stimulants, caffeine. That's nothing. That stuff costs pennies. You want to look at like the performance ingredients. You know, how many grams of creatine? How many grams of citrulline malate? How many grams of beta alanine? You know, and if it's getting upwards to 20 grams of actual product, then you know you got a solid product. If you calculate the citrulline malate and the beta alanine, and it's like 5-6 grams.
It might be enough for a bikini competitor. I agree with you. I formulate supplements for 3 different companies, and what a lot of companies will do is that they'll look at search engine optimization, right? So something like citrulline malate or beta alanine, those are hot, sexy keywords that people are googling, people want to see in a pre-workout. But they're gonna only add, you know, like 500 milligrams because it's an expensive ingredient. But the problem is that the average person, they don't know what an actual effective dosage is, right? So they'll look at this pre-workout, they'll see citrulline malate, they'll see beta alanine, they'll be like, oh, I read about those ingredients on bodybuilding.com or whatever.
Yeah.
This is the pre-workout I need.
Yeah.
You don't realize that 500 milligrams of citrulline malate is like a 12th of the amount that should actually be in there, right? You want probably 6, 7, 8 grams,
yeah,
right? It'd be like taking a teaspoon of protein powder after your workout. It's a great idea, but such a small amount is not going to do anything for you.
Yeah, and all the ingredients we're using, I want to use all trademark products, top-of-line ingredients. So yeah, it's going to be, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really nice.
Really excited. Yeah. We're going to make two, we're going to start with 2 different versions of a pre-workout. One that's like, I guess more sort of mass market that has some stims in it and creatine. And the other one we're going to make is going to be like a pure pump product with no creatine or no stimulants, but I still want to have some ingredients in there that gets people feeling good, without the use of stimulants. Yeah. So it's going to be pretty cool.
So on that note, what are you taking right now as far as supplements leading up to the show?
Nothing.
Actually just cut out, like he was doing a cyclic dextrin pre-workout with like 6 grams of citrulline, 5 grams of BCAAs. What else were we adding to it?
So just for our listeners, cyclic dextrin is a carbohydrate powder.
It's like Carbolin, but it's kind of a little bit better for me.
Very fast absorbing carb.
So when you were taking all these fast absorbing carbs before and after your workout, were you using insulin at the same time, or were you just using the carbs themselves?
Never use insulin.
No.
Insulin. You had no problems going hypoglycemic or anything like that?
No, no. Why would you take insulin?
Well, to shuttle the nutrients into your muscles.
But the body does that anyway when you eat the carbs. It's insulin spikes.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends how much you're using too, right? How much were you using?
25 grams.
Okay, yeah, that's not very much.
Anything crazy like 100 grams or 150 grams. No. Just 25 grams of carbs. And Antoine's insulin sensitivity is great.
Oh, yeah.
It's very healthy.
Remember when
Remember
when we cut the berries and I lost like 2 pounds?
Yeah. His insulin sensitivity is very good. Very good. And we liked it that way. Like,
fuck.
His body's own natural body.
I hate when there's kids like come in, like they say, oh, they start using insulin because they heard some jackass on the internet that he says he's a pro, and they say all the pros use it. That's fucking bullshit.
Honestly, all my clients, I could show you before and afters, guys that have come to me on high insulin, and their physiques just get ruined, in my opinion. I've never seen someone that you show me that didn't use insulin, and then they start using insulin, and I go and look at their physique and go, wow, that's crazy. It's the other way around. I look at their physique and go, what did you do? Your physique's ruined. You know, because a lot of times these guys are taking insulin, and they're taking high amounts of testosterone, they're taking high amounts of GH, and because they're using the insulin, it requires them to eat massive amounts of carbs, so their stomach's blown out all day from all the food. Do that over a 6 month, a year period, 2-3 years, then their physiques are ruined. So you got to keep in mind the amount of food our bodies have to process and digest and absorb on a daily basis.
It's dangerous and unhealthy.
Yeah. So
I know Steve wants to chime in, but what scares me about pre-workout insulin is that you can very easily go hypoglycemic and put yourself in a diabetic coma.
I feel like I've tried it, and I feel like a space cadet while I'm training.
Yeah. Right. So if someone wants to use insulin, I'll tell them, you know, use it post-workout, because then at least you're not training. So if you go hypoglycemic, you can chug, you know, a Coke or a Gatorade or whatever.
Yeah, and I've seen
nothing would be worse than you're in the middle of your workout, you're in the middle of a set, all of a sudden you're going hypoglycemic. You know, let's say you got like 400 pounds on your back. You try to unrack that weight. You try to run to the, you know, locker room to drink some carbs. But by the time you get there, you're already passed out. Like, it's just...
Figure this one out. I worked with one guy one time. He had me try insulin pre-workout, intra-workout, and post-workouts. That was horrible.
Yeah, because you know what happens when you get
that? Like that every single day.
My ex is type 1 diabetic, okay?
Same.
So my ex is type 1 diabetic, my girlfriend I had. And if you stack insulin, she has a little meter, but if you stack insulin, it's like a 4-hour window, but if you use it every 2 hours, there's a part where it's like you
still in your system.
Yeah, which is very dangerous. Yeah. People don't understand. It's like, why would you want to use insulin? Like, do you have trouble being strict that much? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? There's other things you can do.
Yeah, they think they're going to get, it's going to be that drastic of a, act as a shuttle to shuttle all the nutrients in the muscle. That's going to equal more muscle growth. It's like, I don't know. I've never seen it. I think it's extremely overrated.
Yeah.
You know? We appreciate you guys being so honest, because for some reason, people think the secret is insulin. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from, but I'm sure you guys know that everyone thinks the secret is insulin. 99.9% of people will just get fat by using insulin.
Yeah. But I find this out with everything. Like, the average person thinks that, like, bodybuilders, like, let's say you have someone that's like, you know, dabbles with a little bit of gear, takes some stuff, but they don't necessarily, haven't got the result yet that, like, maybe someone they look up to or a pro looks like, and they're working hard. So they think that because they don't look that way, that, oh, it must be because he's using 10 IUs of growth and insulin, and he probably uses like grams of testosterone. Where it's not the case, right? It's like, people need to realize that genetics play a huge factor on how long that person's been training. Like, there's so many other variables where these people have been training for 2-3 years and they don't look like, you know, some great pro yet. And they think, oh, if I were to do what he was doing, I would probably look like that. You know, so it's easy to just you know.
Well, it's the same thing with, you know, hockey. You guys are Canadian. You know, can you become the next, you know, Steven Stamkos by taking a bunch of insulin and steroids and, you know, training like Stamkos trains? No, he's gifted. He's been playing hockey since he was a kid. He's a gifted skater, everything. So, but for some reason, when it comes to bodybuilding, everyone looks at the magazine. They think that they can turn into a pro just by sticking steroids up their ass. And it's very bizarre. It's a huge facade. So, I mean, what are some other, like, myths that you guys hear, you know, around the gym or something, bro science, that really drives you crazy besides the insulin?
I think, I don't know, I've had a lot of clients come to me, and I always ask them what they're using or what they're doing when they come to me. And a big thing, one, too, I guess, is, like, trend. I find I had this one kid at the gym come to me, and he wanted my help. And I was like, okay, well, send me what you're doing. This kid looked like he barely works out, and he sent me his stack, what he was doing, and it was like four times the amount of gear that I had ever, like, it was just insane. It was like upwards to 900 milligrams of tren and crazy amounts, and it's just like, it's crazy what people think they have to do to get a certain look, you know. It's
one thing that's
scary.
Also,
yeah,
it's scary. Very one scary. Thing that's also people think it's trending right now is guys shooting up their arms.
Yeah, the sight injecting. That's another thing that, like, drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Dumb. Like you can see when somebody does it, it's like, it looks stupid. The arm's going to look, is gonna look fine, relaxed. Then when you start flexing
there's no detail.
Yeah.
No density.
Yeah, but that's another mistake I think people are doing is that they end up doing that shit too. And they think it's like, oh, this is another secret. But it's like, no, you're going to look retarded. Because the bodybuilders, they tend to overdo everything, right? So they're going to, people, they start doing it a little bit, and then they're going to overdo it, then it looks like stupid, and then your physics ruined. So me, I'm more like old school. Like I like back in the days, you know, the physics were like hard as nails, and they were not like super, like maybe round and crazy, but like, for example, Dennis Newman was an excellent bodybuilder. I think he's a great physique. Charles Clermont.
Yeah.
Kevin Lerone. Knee. Those guys.
But even when you looked at like 1996, Tom Prince, when he was big, he was still dry, shredded, separated, dense.
Yeah.
He was a mass monster, but he still had that level of conditioning and hardness.
So that's what I'm trying to bring to Toronto, actually, Toronto Pro, because I see a lot of guys, they're huge on stage. They're full. It's very impressive. But I think they're lacking the conditioning, the suffering that you need to really like look granite, you know, on stage. And that's one of my goals, and I hope it pays off.
You can really tell a physique that was built from hard training and one that was built from drugs. It just doesn't have the same look to it. You know, that drug physique is just going to look more watery. It's not going to be as granite. It's not going to be as hard. You know, if you look at the greatest physiques of all time and those guys who had that just granite, crazy, dry look to them, they were also the hardest trainers.
Like Dorian Yates,
that's a great example.
Yeah. Intensity goes a long way.
John Meadows.
Yeah.
His physique is like crazy. His legs and stuff, you can see.
Intensity.
Yeah, very, very hard
guy. Do you still talk to Meadows, Antoine?
Yeah, of course. He helps me with my training.
Okay. Yeah, Meadows is a good guy. He's
one of the he's awesome. He's awesome. I'm going to go see him this summer after my shows. I'm going to go over there, do some videos again, and train with him and learn.
Okay, I want to book him on the show. So give him my email once you're done.
Maybe when I go over there, we'll do an interview like this with him.
Sure. Steve, cool. Did you want to chime in?
I just want to piggyback because I always like to ask our guests this question. What do you guys think separates you know, when you go to a gym, you'll see the guys, everyone that works out every day, you know, and they don't get anywhere. They spin their wheels. What do you think separates those guys from the guys who actually do get results? Aside from genetics, which we all agree is the number one thing, but what is something else that nutrition. You can kind of give people?
I think the biggest thing is like nutrition. I go back to like, I think the biggest thing holding people back is putting more attention into what they're putting in their bodies on a daily basis and being consistent with it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. I would rather tell someone, if someone was like, oh, you know, should I train? How many days a week should I train? I would rather you train three times a week and be have an amazing nutrition than train 6 days a week and have shit nutrition. You know, you're spinning your tires. You know, you're not giving your body the fuel it needs to recover from the workouts and build muscle tissue, and you're not going to get very far, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing for people in the gym that want to
see. My opinion is there's two main reasons. Number one, no one eats food anymore. Everyone just wants to drink shakes all day. I can't even tell you the amount of people, and you know, they give me an email inquiry for coaching. I'm like, hey, send me like what your diet looked like, for example. You know, you don't have to be super specific. I just want to get like a ballpark idea. It's like breakfast, shake and oatmeal. Then there's one meal, post-workout, shake. Then like before bed, another, it's like four shakes a day. I'm like, do you not know how to cook? Like what's going on?
Protein powders out there too. Also, yeah.
You know. And the second thing is I blame social media. You go to your typical gym, people are more interested on posting photos of themselves or, hey, can you take a photo of me doing this set? Or no one's even interested in working out anymore. It's like it's almost like we're all zombies to this freaking phone.
I don't know.
And like, I get it. Like, I make my living off my phone. I get tons of texts from clients, you know, and things like that. But it's like, if you can't turn your phone off for 90 minutes during a workout, there's something mental.
Yeah, I guess it depends what you're doing on your phone too, right? It's like, yeah, if you're texting your buddies back between sets and, you know, going on Instagram and,
Dude, guys are on Snapchat. They're on Tinder. They're trying to pick up chicks.
But it is hard because now, as a professional bodybuilder, you are your own business, and these guys do have to, you know, sort of document their workouts, and because it's a big part of the business now, right? It's sort of changed, and you know, your following is sort of like represents to companies, I guess you could say, like your value of your outreach, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends, because I've been doing videos for YouTube since 2006.
It's natural for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if I bring the camera to the gym, sometimes I don't like it because I go, yeah, I gotta film, but I just do it in between the sets. I film a set, I tell my friend to do this, do that, to film me and stuff. And sometimes I feel because the camera's there, I give a little extra percentage because I'm gonna give an extra, so I gotta show that I'm working hard. And but when I'm by myself, I do that also. It's just that you're going to get a couple reps sometimes because the whole world is watching in my head. And I'm used to it because I've been doing the YouTube for a long time, the stories and stuff. I mean, for me, it's like a part of me, but I do it because I want to share my old journey with everybody. I don't really do it for the tension or the likes.
No, not really. It was never for that, because when I started YouTube, there was no payouts in YouTube at first. There was no Instagram. I used to upload videos on a server, and you had to right click save target as to download it on the computer, and then watch the video MPEG file that I wouldn't edit from my computer and stuff. So I've been doing that for a long time. But I think what separates guys from the average guys in the gym is that you gotta be persistent. You gotta, let's say, if you eat, you gotta eat the same thing every day. Calculate. If you do that 3 years every day, you eat like a machine, you're gonna get the result. But nobody does that. It's too much hard work. You know, people, they want to get the quick fix.
Gym is the easy part. Going to the gym and training,
it's the fun part.
That's fun.
Especially when you're off.
Great. Season, yeah, that's fun. The hard part is the nutrition.
Do you guys know who IFBB pro Ron Partlow is?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We know. Okay. I grew up in Edmonton, and I started working out when I was 13. And he was kind of my mentor when I was younger. And I give this guy such props looking back. Because, I mean, I was this 15-year-old kid bugging him with all these questions. And he was just always so friendly and super nice.
Yeah, Ron is great. He's a great guy.
Nicest guy. Like a big teddy bear, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember being 15 and doing a leg workout with him and saying, you know, like, Ron, what's the secret? Like how do I get as big as you? You know, like, how do I look like you? And he said, you know that leg workout we just did? And I was like, yeah. He said, 20 years of that. I'll never forget that. And that's like the most true and best advice you could ever give a 13-year-old. And nothing could be truer.
Yeah. It's a long time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, pretty much. I've been training for 16 years now this summer.
Yeah, and it's like same thing with that meal you had for breakfast. Anyone can eat that for one meal, but can you do that 6 times a day, 7 days a week, 16 weeks in a row? That's what gets you into contest shape.
Yeah. Consistency. Yeah, and you got to be willing to be comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, Anton, we got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the Toronto Pro?
I want to win.
Yeah, you want to win. That's ambitious.
Yeah, of course I want to win. And the thing is that, yeah, if there's like Juan Morel is doing it, and I just read that maybe Steve Kuklo is doing it.
Really?
And another guy's doing it. I'm not sure, yeah.
I heard through the grapevine Steve Kuklo is doing it.
Yeah, so I'll show you, Doran, the guys who are doing it.
And Juan Morel looked really good at the New York Pro. I think he'll look well.
Very good bodybuilder.
What about Nathan Diascia? Is he going to do it?
Look, Kurt Oxmuscle, Cedric McMillan is doing it.
Cedric's coming to Toronto?
Some guy said that. It's a guy who commented. So Cedric McMillan, this guy's saying, Juan Morel, Steve Kuklo, John De La Rosa. So it'll be a stacked lineup. Yeah, it's a very good lineup. But even if they're doing it, I mean, Steve was hard as nails at the Arnold, right?
Yeah.
So he's gonna be hard to beat because he's bigger. But who knows what I'm gonna look like on stage?
Yeah.
Me, I'm going for the win. I mean, I know what, like, for example, Juan Morel, I got his weak points. My legs are my strong point, and I think my physique when I start posing comes alive more. When I'm just hanging out like that with a loose shirt, I don't look big. But once I start posing and the striations are all there, who knows? I'm going there and I want to win. And if it's not this one, I'm doing Vancouver. And I'm just giving my 100%. And if they beat me, no hard feelings because I gave my 100%. Because the only person you can hate when you lose is yourself if you didn't give 100%. And I'm giving my 100% right now. So if somebody beats me, fair enough. Then I just go back.
Attitude. You also got to remember, Antoine, you're a young guy still. You got years ahead of you.
Yeah. It's just a question of time now. Like, if I now I'm super strict, I got my shit together, I got my recovery comes first, being clean and sober. And now I got this whole off season where I'm going to be like a machine.
Yeah, it's already a victory for Antoine. He's going to be by far the best he's ever been. So it's like the improvements he's made. It's crazy. So,
yeah, I mean, a year and a half after being homeless.
Yeah, it's like it's already a victory for him. So, I mean, from here on out, it's only going to go up. We're only going to make improvements. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. Yeah.
This is a very inspiring podcast. Do you guys have any advice for people that are very downtrodden right now in depression, having a really tough time?
Yeah.
Even feeling suicidal, because we all go through that in life. I mean, we have tough things, shit happens, divorces, you know, and all kinds of things. What kind of advice can you give them right now when they're going through
this? I'll tell you straight up. If you're depressed and if you feel hopeless, you got to know that there is hope and you just got to go and seek the help. For me personally, I'm going to talk about myself. I couldn't do it by myself. So when I saw that the choice was to go to rehab, I was like, okay, just I accepted that I had a problem. You got to accept that you have a problem. You got to, then you seek the help. You go to your loved one, you say, hey, I need help. I feel bad. I'm suffering. What can we do? Counseling, therapy, rehab, go to a 12-step meeting and all that shit. And even if there's really bad time for you right now, we call it the way of the cross. Is that you're one? I'm gonna talk about Jesus here, but it's a very like a cool example. I'm not like a super Christian, but it's a good example.
Antoine, I'm a religious Christian, so you can talk about God all you want.
Like on the cross, he was suffering, he died, and then he resurrected from that. So let be that moment that of your suffering and depression be your moment of the cross, and then you will come out of there. Something good will come out of there. So you will come out of there stronger as a new person, and you will evolve into a better person. And that's how I see it. And I read that from The Power of Now, the by Eckhart Tolle, the sequel there, Practice the Power of Now. And he gives examples about Jesus sometimes other religions, and it's all about being in the now. But
Yeah, but the main thing is that let this struggle become something positive. And the way to do that is by overcoming it. And by to do that, you got to seek help if you can't do it by yourself. Because with what I had, what I was equipped with, I was just I was addicted to drugs. My pattern were like, if I was just by myself, I would try, then my brain would just go back to what it knows best to feel better, which was using drugs. So I had to get out of that whole freaking like pattern and environment, put somewhere 24/7, relearn and to how to live pretty much, and then go back in the world, take what I learned and just keep doing it. If you just do a rehab, then you go in the world and then you don't do anything. It's like you diet for so long, you go back eating shit. What's going to happen? You're going to get fat again. So I had to keep doing the recovery as a priority when I come out of rehab, and surround myself with the right people, push away all the bad influences and the bad people. And then I just feel better. And what I also doing right now is that instead of reacting, I always analyze what's going on. I always try to do introspection, see what's going on inside me, take a moment before acting, listen to my heart, or listen to the will of God, for example. That's another good example for that. The will of God is like, what would God do? What would God want me to do? That's listening to your heart, what feels right. So, and everything I do, I try to take a moment and do that. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I'm going to react a little bit, but then you can just take a step back, analyze that, accept it, and then do the next right thing. And if you do that every day in the present moment, you give 100%, that's all you can do, is your best. And then after that, you got to have faith that the good thing will happen.
Antoine, I got one more question for you, yeah. And then I'm going to close up the podcast. I'm not going to mention the person's name because this is a very personal question. He sent me a DM on Instagram. He said he's a big follower of yours. He's currently suffering from addiction as well. And he wants to know, whenever you get that voice telling you to go back to your addiction, how do you sound it out? What do you do? He's looking for some advice on what to do when you hear that voice.
What helped me a lot is that if I would hear the voice like, okay, oh, what if I would just do a little bit? What if I just go out and say, fuck it? Because me, was always the, sometimes it would be like, the fuck this shit. It's fuck the world. I'm just going to fuck everything up and just get fucked up. Well, play the table till the end. What usually happens when you run out of money? You run out of drugs, or it's been a week and you're not home, and then you're like, oh my God, what have I done? What have I destroyed again? And then if you just put your, because you don't want to think too far ahead with one. The brain does very selective thinking, so you don't think about what feels great, but you got to think about all the consequences. So I would play it till the end. It's okay, I'm going to end up on the street again, dead like my friend that died 2 days ago, in rehab, in jail, in a mental institution, or be dead. So the voice, what you need, he needs to do, he needs to see the thought, but keep it as a thought. Don't associate yourself with it. Let it go. Say, oh, I want to use drugs. And say, okay, you see yourself from another point of view. Okay, it's just a thought. Just let it go like a cloud in the air. Just let it pass by. And it's easy to do now because I got the skills. But when I was in the active addiction, like he is probably right now, that's pretty hard to do because it's like a dog. If you give him a treat, every time he sits down, he wants a fucking treat when he sits down, you know? So he needs to go to rehab. He needs to seek help. And wherever, let's say, for example, he lives in Florida, Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida, NA meeting tonight. Click. There's a list of meetings. You should get his ass to a freaking meeting, talk to somebody there, and seek help. It's free. The meetings are free. There's no excuse for him to not to try harder, to not stop using drugs. He just needs to seek help. And he can do it because I was one of the most extreme guy, you know. Anyway, people who know me, they know that. But if I can stop, he can stop. If all the guys who have years and years of recovery can stop, your friend can stop. Your guy can stop. And if he wants to just send me a direct message to me, no stress. Sometimes I help people. I tell them, which town do you live in? Oh, I live over there. I go get the list of meetings, the 12 step, and I send it there. There's the meeting tonight at 8 p.m. Go if you really want to stop. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? If you're really tired of suffering, you're going to go.
Antoine and Dorian, I really appreciate you guys being so open and honest. You're going to help a lot of people with this podcast. For your host, Trevor Caritzen, and for my co-host, Steve Smee, we're rooting for you, man. Anyone who's just listening to the audio, I can see Antoine. His face is sunken in. He looks like a walking zombie. I mean, regardless of how you place, you're going to make us proud. It's always nice to see some Canadians up there. Are you going to have some poutine and maple syrup once
you're done? Probably. I don't know. But the thing I'm looking forward to, I think, is Dimitri's Cafe again. Oh, shit, that was good. Or pizza, because I didn't have pizza all prepped because it's too much gluten and lactose.
So, the joke is Steve's in Florida, right? So yeah. The official drink of Evolutionary Radio is Canada Dry Ginger Ale. Because Steve legitimately thought that's like all Canadians drink. And I was like, no, dude, we don't really drink ginger ale.
No, we don't. No.
But I guess in America, they think, you know, Canada Dry, it must be something that Canadians love to drink.
Yeah, I guess it is good. I guess a diet pop sometimes.
Yeah.
Or real ginger ale would be good.
Yeah.
I don't even think sounds good for me right now.
This has been another episode of Evolutionary Radio. Live your life, look good doing it. Thanks for listening.